The Hate Crimes Reporting Act, with bills in the House and Senate, the so-called lawbreakers, the lawmakers, or are they lawbreakers, would direct the National Telecommunications and Information Administration. Did you know we had such a thing? That's the NTIA. Notice they're going around the FCC itself. In other words, Obama's created a whole different administration to analyze media outlets, including talk radio, to determine if their working to, quote, advocate and encourage hate crimes. Now, as you well know, the left declares any criticism of Obama racism. So in that category, anything that I say about Obama is considered a hate crime. Markey, again, one of the slimiest characters to have ever inhabited a suit, says it's critical to ensure the Internet, television, and radio are not encouraging hate crimes or hate speech. It sounds good on paper, but is Markey not encouraging hate crimes against freedom of speech? Is Markey not encouraging a hate crime against the First Amendment? Is Markey not encouraging a hate crime against the Constitution? I'll let you decide. Markey brushes aside expected First Amendment arguments saying, quote, criminal and hateful activity aren't covered by the Constitution. Well, we know that, Markey, but that includes the Senate. You see, criminal and hateful activity by the Senate is also not covered by the Constitution. Why don't you check out the rare earth situation out in the desert? The bill would look closely at discussions related to, quote, gender, race, religion, ethnicity, and sexual orientation. So that means anybody who says that Obama is the worst president in American history would ipso facto be considered conducting a hate crime, because that's considered racism under the Brave New World laws of Senator Malarkey. The bill is not expected to get far in Congress, however. Thank God, because the Republicans control the House. Now, many of us say the Republicans are as bad as the Democrats. We don't need them. Let me tell you something. There's a thing called 6 degrees of separation. In this case, even if there's 2 degrees of separation, as a man who knows compasses and compass settings as a boater, anyone who's navigated a boat or a plane understands that while 2 degrees of separation at the outset is minimal and hard to see, as the farther out you go from that point of departure, the wider those 2 degrees become. It's all we've got, in other words. Make sure that we take over the House and the Senate in 2014. So this is what's going on. A who's who of left-leaning activist groups have gone on record supporting the targeting of talk radio, including the following characters: the National Hispanic Media Coalition and Low Power FM Advocacy Prometheus Radio Project. So they want to destroy the First Amendment itself by saying anything they don't like is a hate crime. That's one topic. If you care to comment on it, go ahead. All you want to do is talk about the ranch situation. You know, tell you, everyone wants to only talk about Harry Reid. I don't know what that's about. You want to talk about rare medals? I'd like to talk about rare senators, the senators we don't have. I'd like to talk about the rare congressmen, the few that we have. Yeah, I'd love to talk about all the rare medals, scandium, yttrium, lanthanum, cerium, praseodymium, neodymium, promethium, samarium, europium, gadolinium, terbium, sorry. I thought it was a food in a delicatessen. Terblum. It's not terblum, it's terbium. Dysprosium. Of course, in the case of John Boehner, it would be something other than dysprosium. It would be something else. Holmium, erbium, thulium, not thallium. Thallium is what's applied to most of the congressmen on metallurgical medicines. Lutetium and ytterbium. So we don't know what these are. These are some of the ways each earth element is named, and what they do is not important to you. You can look them up. But you see, because of Obama's laws, China began tightening its grip on these rare metals. They first imposed trade limits in 1999, and as a result, they've now cornered the market on the rare earths, which are found in the Nevada desert. They're found in other places, but mainly in the Nevada desert. Strangely enough, in close proximity to the cowboy stand down. So people are saying, wait a minute, is it really about cows and grazing? Or is it really about gobbling up that earth to sell off to China so we become totally incapable of building our own television sets, which we don't do anymore, but more importantly, building the chips for our military weaponry? You know what I'm saying? And that's all you want to talk about. I mean, I know this is a big topic. I know you'd rather talk about this situation than the Ukraine, but you can call on the radio hate speech bill by Senator Malarkey if you'd like. Senator Ed Malarkey of D. Massachusetts are looking to pass a law that would determine if we're committing hate crimes by talking about gender, race, religion, ethnicity, and sexual orientation. It's all very positive, but I would say it's a hate crime against the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, Mr. Malarkey. Would you like to comment on that? Why is it that Democrats want to curtail talk on talk radio while Republicans don't, by and large? There are a few who do, but it's mainly the Democrats. What do you think they're trying to cover up? I guess you could say it's hate speech to talk about rare earths in Nevada. You could say it's hate speech to talk about so many things if you live in a fascist dictatorship, which is, of course, what we're becoming like. It looks to me like we're not too far away from Russia, but I've told you that before. I told you when I was a young man, I used to read Aldous Huxley, virtually everything he ever wrote, including his articles on furniture in, at the time, architectural magazines published in London. I was so infatuated with his genius. And he said in 1951 that the closer the Soviet Union and America became to each other in trade and cultural affairs, the more Russia would start to look like America and the more America would start to look like Russia. Wow, was he ever right. Now, before I take my first break, again, the phone number here is 855-407-282. I want to talk today, I want to take a digression today since it's Holy Week, to talk about war and peace. At some point, I want to talk about Napoleon. I know you say, we know who Napoleon. You don't know who Napoleon is unless you're a historian. I want to talk about how Napoleon was defeated in Russia, the same way Hitler was defeated in Russia, not only by the army, but first by the territory itself. The fact of the matter is you have to understand that Russia is a very difficult nation to defeat on any level, especially since they're fighting on their own territory and we're not. But more especially since we don't have a Napoleon in the White House, we don't even have a Josephine. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Yep, one man's love is another man's hate. By the way, I need to correct the date of this Thursday, the 17th. I apparently lost track of time here. I'm allegedly on vacation, but I haven't been on vacation. Yesterday was a heart-stopping opening to the show. It was 30 minutes of a plane going from cruising altitude to the ground and being pulled out right at the last minute. But now I see that the demon cats like Ed Malarkey, Democrat of so-called Massachusetts, it hasn't been Massachusetts for a long time, wants to pass a bill to target radio hate speech. Let me give you an example of what I consider to be hate speech. Eric, play clip 12 of our Secretary of Education, some Arne Duncan. I want you to listen to clip 12 and tell me if you think, as I do, that this is hate speech. Listen to clip 12.
And they're trying to get a great education. These are children and families who are trying to live the American dream, or putting everything on the line to get a great education. And it's frankly inspiring.
He's saying that the Mexican illegals who cross the border and get a free education in our schools are an inspiration to him. Now, this wackadoodle, this left-wing fanatic, in my opinion, is committing a hate crime. It's not just hate speech, but he's talking about non-citizens using the schools in America without paying a nickel. And he says that it's great and inspiring to see such children cross the border to get an education. To me, that's a hate crime and hate speech. Now, you'd say, well, no, it isn't. It's freedom of speech. Okay, good. I'll split the difference with you. So, therefore, everything I say is freedom of speech, isn't it? Of course it is. That doesn't stop Ed Malarkey from saying he wants to control what can be said in this country. How does he differ from Putin? He doesn't. That's what Democrats are. They spend other people's money. They tell people what they can and cannot say. Obama's Marxist-Leninist roots are showing. I mean, his gray roots are showing. His Marxist-Leninist roots are showing. Yeah. You know, I wrote that in Chapter 2 of Trickle Up Poverty, two bestsellers ago. And I wrote, Obama's Marxist-Leninist roots are showing. When I was a little boy, I wrote, maybe between the ages of 6 to 9, I'd go on long rides with my father across the bridges into Manhattan to work in his antique store, I wrote. His shop was on the Lower East Side of New York on Ludlow Street, where he sold clocks and figurines. That was his specialty. I learned a lot about art because Dad put me to work cleaning off the patina. The nouveaus who were buying them wanted them to look like shiny, like copper. So down in the musty basement, I'd work long hours scrubbing off the brown or black patina. After they were ready, I'd bring up the figurines to the store for my father to sell. Glad to be out of that dark basement for a few minutes, I'd smile and linger before I headed back to the dungeon. I'd watch the customers coming in and out of the store looking at this and that figure. They'd see something they like, ask my father the price, and he'd tell them sometimes they pay for it, sometimes they pay the price, sometimes they winced as if biting down on a bit of raw garlic. They'd shake their heads and say they couldn't afford his price. Whether they could afford it or were just trying to work my dad over, I didn't know. I took it at face value that they didn't have enough money. On the long rides home with Dad, I had time to think about many things, including the exchange between my father and the customers. That's when a new idea struck me. I thought how nice the world would be if the vegetable man could give me his vegetables and I could give him some of my father's merchandise in exchange. Or how the butcher could give me meat to take home to my mother and in exchange I'd give him a lamp from my father's store. Or how the butcher might give the vegetable man a lamp shop and the vegetable man might give him some cucumbers. I started to wonder, why wouldn't such a system work? Then we wouldn't need any money and everybody would be happy. But then again, I was a child, you see. Awakening from my reflections on the ride home, I came to understand that not all people want to work. And not all people will work as hard as their neighbor to get that lamp shop. Some will refuse to work, yet still expect a lamp shop. And that's the essence of communism, of socialism, of Obamaism. Millions of people living in the country right now do not work. They're deadbeat bums. And yet they still want that lamp shop. And they've got a president who supports them and hates the worker. That was something I wrote in Trickle Up Poverty.
Join the set.
It is 33 minutes after the hour of 3 on the East Coast, after the hour of noon on the West Coast, and the plane has achieved cruising altitude. Please unbuckle your seatbelts. Feel free to walk around, have a drink, and tell you what, you can even have a smoke tonight on the plane for all I care. You're in the privacy of your own home. Everything's running good so far, but since I grew up as a skeptic and a pessimist, where I expected everything to go wrong all the time, and it usually did, and I was never disappointed, it ain't over until it's over today. But no, we're doing good. We're doing good so far, and that's a strange week. It's Holy Week for both Christians and Jews, which is an amazingly powerful time of the year. And there's Putin on a television show with Snowden. I mean, that's amazing. Snowden quizzes Putin on a surveillance issue in Russia. Can you believe this? Can you believe that the answers that Putin gave are almost identical to the answers that Obama gave? Edward Snowden asked Vladimir Putin about surveillance. Okay. And we have the sound, by the way, and I'm going to read them to you. Does Russia intercept, store, or analyze in any way the communications of millions of individuals? Snowden asked, according to a video clip posted by Russia Today. Putin, who identified Snowden as a, quote, former agent and spy, acknowledged that he too used to work in intelligence and said the following. We are going to talk one professional language. And he said Russia does not have a mass data collection program. He said our intelligence efforts are strictly regulated by our law. We don't have a mass system of such interception. And according with our law, it cannot exist. Okay? Now, what's interesting to me is that Obama said almost the same exact thing. Putin said our special services, thank God, are strictly controlled by the society and by the law and regulated by the law. Wouldn't you wish that your NSA and your FBI was strictly controlled by the society and by the law? Wouldn't you wish to God that the Bureau of Land Management was controlled by the society and by the law and regulated by the law? Let's try some of that sound, Eric. Let's see if it's any good. We just got it off the cloud. Let's hear how it sounds on the show.
Does Russia intercept, store, or analyze in any way the communications of millions of individuals? And do you believe that simply increasing the effectiveness of intelligence or law enforcement investigations can justify placing societies rather than subjects under surveillance? Thank you.
No answer from Putin, I guess. Eric, do we have enough? Because it would be in translation, obviously. None of us speak Russian. Some do, but do we have any more from this cloud, or is that the only piece? Oh, we have Putin. Okay, let's hear Putin. Let's hear Putin next.
Our intelligence efforts are strictly regulated by our law. You have to get a court permission to stalk a particular person. We don't have as much money as they have in the States, and we don't have these technical devices that they have in the States. Our special services, thanks God, are strictly controlled by the society and by the law and are regulated by the law.
I would wake up a happy man if I ever heard Obama say the same thing. That our surveillance, you know, individuals and surveillance is controlled by the society. Wouldn't that be nice to hear Obama say that? That this is all controlled by our society and by the law? Do you think the NSA is controlled by the law? I mean, it's like a renegade organization. Since when do any of them answer to the people? Do we have more of it? Because I don't have it in front of me. It just came in a second ago. If you got more, that's it. All right, it's good enough. That's all. That's all. Next case. Democrats target radio, want to control so-called hate speech. They want to go around the FCC to a group called the NTIA, National Telecommunications and Information Administration, which must consist of two neo-Nazi fascists from Harvard University disguised as socialist liberals. They don't wear a swastika, of course. But you know who runs this country. You know what they're like. You know what they'd like to do. You know, I had a terrible fear when I was researching today's show. I had one moment. You ever have like a paranoid flash? I get them quite often. I was researching today's show about what the military options might be with Russia vis the Ukraine situation. And I was shocked to discover that Obama had ordered the removal of all of our Abrams tanks and A-10 Skyhawks out of Europe. Now, the A-10 Skyhawks, as you well know, are the tank killers. Why did Obama remove them before this Ukraine crisis? Why would he do that? Why would he take out the tanks? And then I had a terrible paranoid flash about 4 in the morning. Just as thunder and lightning went off the shore here. And I said, wait a minute, something's wrong with this picture. Could it be possible that Obama really is so deeply ingrained in working with Putin and working with communist China, and that it is a worldwide conspiracy to introduce worldwide communism, and that America has literally stood down, and he's just an agent of international communism? I swear to God, I mean, that was 4 o'clock in the morning. I said, come on, it's dark, you know how your thoughts get late at night, you know, that can't be true. And I woke up, I said, what do you mean it can't be true? What do you mean it can't be true? What do you mean it can't be true? Everything the man does seems to make Russia more bold, makes China more bold, makes the Islamists more bold. What has he recently done to intimidate Russia? Nothing. Every pink line that he's created, Putin has crossed. What has he recently done to control China's gobbling up the world? Nothing. And what has he done to inhibit the Islamists? Why, just the other day, Al-Qaeda marched in the open in Yemen. March in the open. Where were the drones? That was the leadership of our enemy. I said, wait a minute, maybe they're not his enemy. Now, I realize this sounds paranoiac to most people who live in a bubble of the government media complex. But I don't. I live in my own world, and I live in my own world of analysis, and I've been trained to think. I've also been trained to think independently. I've trained myself not to look over my shoulder when I arrive at a correct solution. It doesn't mean I'm correct in my analysis. It means that my analysis is worth considering. That's all it means. I think out loud. Now, don't call me on it, because many of you would agree. And then what are we going to do? Where are we going to be with that? We'll be like a rare earth talking to ourselves. So let's keep it nice and light. Let's go to KSFO in San Francisco. Mark, thanks for calling from my hometown. What's on your mind?
Yes. Adolf Hitler realized at a young age that he needed three things to control the masses. The first was he needed to control the media. The second, he needed the social groups behind him, i.e. Code Pink, conversely not allowing Tea Party. And the third one was the use of tyranny. He started off with soft tyranny. He ended up with the tyranny that we know well of.
Well, there's an article along these lines that Putin is acting very much like Hitler did in the 1930s in terms of his control of the media in the ex-Soviet Union, Russia. And all of the independent owners of the media in Russia have been bought out or thrown out. And as I read the article, I said it's very much like what Obama's doing here. He hasn't bought the companies, but are you to tell me he doesn't control CBS News? He doesn't control CNN? He has no influence over what Fox and Ailes does? They're terrified of him. They're terrified of him the same way the media is terrified of Putin in Russia. I said to myself at 5 in the morning, as you can tell, I don't sleep. I don't sleep at all. I think all the time. Doesn't hurt you, by the way. Anyone who says that stress will kill you is crazy. Because if that were true, I would have been dead at 5. I think stress is very helpful, by the way. Everyone's afraid of stress. In fact, avoiding stress, ducking stress, studying how to duck stress and this. Stress really will kill you faster than stress will. The life is stressful. Look at any animal on earth. Where they have a stress-free existence? Have you ever not watched a white crane walking in a marsh hunting for a fish? You ever see how tense they are? That's why the ancient Chinese martial artists used to study the animals and develop the white crane method, for example. They would study the animals thousands of years ago, and they would notice how the animal used his claws in a battle. So they developed a martial art to go with that. My point is every animal on earth is tense. I mean, except when my dog is lying on his back watching TV with me. That's another story. But they're not animals. I mean, dogs in a house, pets are not animals. That's why we love them, because they're like freaks. They're freaks of the animal kingdom. Who ever heard of an animal laying on his back watching a television? I'm watching a TV show on a pillow. I mean, it's not heard of. But we like it because it lets us relax. If the dog can relax, I can relax. That's why we love animals, because it gives us feedback. But it's because of our protection of that animal that he can lie on his back and watch television. It's not because of him lying on his back that I can lie on my back and watch television. No, life is tense. All animals are tense. From the mosquito to the elephant, they're all walking around on eggshells. Anyway, to get back to the news topics, which you don't care about, U.S. sending helmets and other non-lethal military aid to Ukraine. Oh, that should help. Helmets! I guess they have a few million helmets left over. They don't fit the women that they put in the military. They have to make smaller helmets now so they can send them to the Ukraine. These are big helmets that the U.S. must be sending when they fit men. You know, actual men in the military needed helmets. Now they need bonnets. Under Obama, the helmet's going to be changed into a sort of cross between a helmet and a bonnet. It's going to be called a belmet. Under Obama's new military, the helmet will be replaced with the belmet, a combination of a bonnet and a helmet. I made that up for you just to give you some entertainment. EU warns Russia on using gas supplies for threat. Oh, that should scare Putin. That's like calling up PG&E and saying, all right, don't you dare turn the gas off if I don't pay the bill. Okay, fine, I'll turn the gas off. What are you going to do then? You're going to turn it on? So anyway, you get the picture? Rock-solid evidence. Astronomers discover the most Earth-like planet yet again. I mean, Bill Clinton was right that night. He's talked about like a stoner speech. Astronomers discovered the most habitable Earth-like planet yet. I'm buying a house up there. Where is this? Where is this? Astronomers discovered what they say is the most Earth-like planet yet. A distant rocky world that's similar in size to our own exists in the Goldilocks zone, where it's not too hot and not too cold. I like it. I wonder if I can buy something beachfront. I'll put up a remote broadcast studio. Eric, you'd have trouble with that connection. The find announced today excited planet hunters who have been scouring the Milky Way for years for potentially habitable places outside our solar system. The results are absolutely rock solid. University of California, Berkeley astronomer Jeff Marcy said in an email. He had nothing to do with the discovery, but he was the first to talk about it, typically Berkeley. You love this? He had nothing to do in discovering it, but he already had something to say about it. Sounds like everyone I left in New York. If they weren't in your field, they knew more about it than you do, and they would lecture you on it, which is why I stopped going to such dinners. The planet was detected by NASA's orbiting Kepler telescope, which examined... We still have a telescope that flies around? It doesn't have to go through Putin? Where is this? The new planet is dubbed Kepler 186F. It circles a red dwarf star 500 light years from Earth in the constellation Cygnus. As you may remember from the first grade, a light year is almost 6 trillion miles. So 500 times 6 trillion is approximately what an average baseball player makes in the United States of America per year. The planet is about 10% larger than Earth and may very well have liquid water. Oh, that's good. How can it have water? The planet probably basks in an orange-red glow from its star, blah, blah, blah. The discovery was detailed in the issue of the journal Science, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. It's pretty interesting, but I'm so not into astronomy anymore. I love the field for those who are into it. I think they're geniuses and they're wonderful people. They live in another universe. But things are so bad on this Earth right now. The most incompetent, corrupt people have taken over the Western nations to such an extent that I really don't care about the most habitable Earth-like planet yet. As far as I'm concerned, God made the greatest planet on Earth called Earth. And this Earth is the only heaven that I care about. And right now we need to get the devils out of the positions of power. I'll be right back. Well, our president is speaking live about nothing today. Of course, lying through his teeth about everything, which is what he specializes in. And if that's considered hate speech, I guess I'm guilty. Because I'd like to see someone I can trust. Apparently 60% of Americans who have been polled believe the president lies about everything. And I think that's an optimistic result. I think that this man lies, as they say, when he opens his mouth. But nevertheless, I'm not going to listen to this. Everything he said, what's he telling us? He's going to threaten Russia with what? He's going to keep the Blini back? He's not going to let any more Ukrainian women into America until he withdraws from the Ukraine? At 20, they are gorgeous. That's the one thing America... The average guy doesn't know nothing. Nothing. Ukraine, you say Ukrainian to the average moron in America, he says Ukrainian women are beautiful. That's all. At 18, they're heartbreaking. They stop your breath. At 30, they look like Stalin's housekeeper. I don't know how that happens. I don't get it. I don't understand what happens to women. The more beautiful they are at 18, by 30, Stalin's housekeeper appears in your house. The babushka, the skin changes. I never saw anything like. But it's the I don't know whether it's the dye. You know, I look back on historical black and white movies sometimes, like World War II, and see like the Siege of Stalingrad, which of course, or Leningrad. They're not exactly in Ukraine, but it was Russia. So you say, oh well, okay, the women. I look for the same. They weren't as pretty. They ate potato skins. So how could they look so good? But now, stunning. They win prizes. They come over here. The movie stars who are 5'1" and under love them, and they move right ahead. And then at 30, bingo, it's over. President Obama says the House GOP is holding back reform. Thank God! They're holding back your communism? What do you think they're supposed to do? Why don't you get rid of the Republican Party with your pen and your stool? Why don't you get rid of the Republican Party, right, with your pen and your stool? Go ahead. Write it out. No Republican Party. Sieg Heil. And you want immigration reform? You can't have it. You're not God. You're just a stooge of the left. And I got a neck ache from this. There's only two ways to get a neck ache. One is in a car accident. The other way is to look at the president, lie to your face on a television screen, and scream at the screen.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Spent the whole show on the rare earth metal connection to the Nevada desert. It started to get eerie. It was like the Godfather. It was like a piece of the Godfather that was left on the cutting room floor. It gave me the chills to think people could be this corrupt, that they would sell out a piece of America's mineral base to China in order to further weaken us. Or if not to do that, then at least for private personal gain, you know? So you want to talk about that, you want to talk about Russia, you want to talk about Ukraine, you want to talk about our fearless leader, whatever you want to talk about, we can talk about it. It's 855-407-282. 855-407-282, KSFO, Ty. You're calling from San Francisco. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. Great show. Good topics. My point is the Bundy Ranch story is a perfect example and reason why the 17th Amendment needs to be repealed so that the states can control the senators that are going crazy and oppressing us and sending out these...
People don't understand that we were never supposed to have an all-overbearing federal government. That's what states' rights were all about. It was to prevent an overbearing dictatorship from emerging.
And that's why the 17th Amendment needs to be repealed to get control back in the Senate. That's why...
Well, if you're calling for a... Be careful, because if you're calling for a constitutional convention, it could backfire on us, and you can get guys like Senator Malarkey putting in a new amendment saying that the thou shalt not be any talk radio. I mean, you got to be careful what you wish for, as they say. It is 12 minutes after the hour across the world. Thank God he's left the stage. I said, guess he's got an important dinner to go to. Thank God the president just left the stage. I guess he's got some real important place to go to. Maybe Michelle's getting ready for another trip and he has to help her pack. You know, takes weeks to pack that woman's 70 members of the entourage. She just came back from China, no press allowed. I know he's getting ready for a Far East Asia trip. Oh, yeah. The peripatetic president, look it up. It's not a dirty word. It's not hate speech. I know many of you are so stupid, you'll say, Savage called the president peripatetic. Can we get him on charges? The peripatetic president. I'd rather call him the perennially pathetic president and call her the peripatetic first lady, but that's too many PhD words in one sentence. KSFO Steve, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Doctor, the carnival barker Jay Carney said the same thing that the president said today, and that drew my attention to the word of the militia. It's very odd that they're calling the people over in Ukraine militia until you link it up with Bundy, and who came to help him stand up to the feds?
I didn't even know militia. I didn't even know there were any militias left in America. I thought they were all killed, put out of business by Clinton. Where'd the militias come from?
Different organizations, different states. The Cowboys showed up, militia showed up, stood up to the feds.
You know, Hollywood had a militia. Hollywood has a militia. Katzenberg, and Ratzenberg run the militia in Hollywood.
And Hollywood Harry goes before the cameras and says...
That's what I'm saying. They got their own militia.
Away from the line.
They don't need guns. They have the Air Force.
They can't disobey us.
Yeah, I get it. No, I understand. But what's Harry Reid got to do with, if anything? I mean, really, do you think he's got anything to do with it or not?
He's a puppet.
Well, wait a minute. Why are his hands in so many solar projects in the Nevada desert? Some are asking. There have been articles written about it. What's that about?
Two levels. He's in it for the money. It's just pure greed. But the government, the feds are using this as a way to suppress any notion of the people being able to stand up to them.
Well, I understand that, and some people are calling the standoff at the ranch our true Boston Tea Party. And it's the first event of a coming revolution. And these are intelligent people who are not really militant in any way, but they see what happened there. Finally, the people stood up to this overreaching, overbearing government. To put it mildly, 855-407-282, that opens up a line on any topic today, 855-407-282. This is Michael Savage. I shall return.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Are live on the Savage Nation during this Holy Week vacation for many. Everyone seems to be somewhere else, including yours truly. I'm somewhere else. I may as well have been 600 million light years away last night as we tried to reach you from a foreign planet. It took us a while to do it, but thank God we were there and we did a great show, and tonight has been flawless so far. Knock wood, as my father would have said. Knock wood. And we're talking about all the topics of the week, not only of the day. Phone number, if you care to join the conversation, is 855-472-8282, Ukraine. I'm not that interested in Ukraine, because we're not going to do anything. I mean, what do you think? Is there something that could be done? Nothing can be done. It's all been worked out behind the scenes already. The great fearless leader already. He eliminated our A-10 Skyhawk tank killers from Europe and eliminated the M1A Abrams tanks. What's he going to send against the Putin's military? The girls from Michigan State with the bonnets, the belmets that he's creating for them, sent a bunch of belmets to the Ukraine. Anyway, what do you want to talk about? Something's on your mind. I know a lot of people want to talk about stuff, but, you know, I know you're going to do it. Sal on WABC. Let's go to New York. I miss New York. I haven't been there in years. I haven't been to New York for 3 years, 2 years. I used to go. I liked it. When my mother was alive, I'd go there. Saw my mother, that was always good for 2 days till it devolved into an argument. But hey, that's what the beauty of family is. You can argue and be friends the next day. No, I miss her, but all my ancestors are buried there. I have to go back there one day. That's a nice thought. I mean, whether you want to go there or not, okay. No, I'm serious. I mean, I don't go there. I mean, I do like New York when I get there, but I know I'm leaving. I still prefer San Francisco to New York. There's just a certain beauty about the hills and the light that I've described in my novels, Abuse of Power and A Time for War. I've painted beautiful pictures of the streets of North Beach in a certain on winter days, the color of the bay on certain days. I mean, New York has an electric beauty, a trillion-volt beauty that I certainly love looking out of a hotel room. But in terms of overall forever, I mean, San Francisco has kept me enchanted all these years. I mean, I don't care about the people who run it. I know it's the most corrupt city in America. I know about Shrimp Boy. I don't eat shrimp anymore. After the Shrimp Boy case, I stopped eating shrimp to begin with. It's all sewer shrimp. I had shrimp on this trip out here in Florida. I got sick for a day. You can't get it anymore. I said, get me Gulf shrimp. It was like a limp, pre-cooked thing. I mean, I don't want to go into it. The next day, I said, get me the fresh. It was worse. The joints broke. I had pain in my joints from it. What is that about shrimp? Why do I get pains in my joint? Now I'm going to get the crackpot callers to take something to eliminate bloating and pressure that my grandmother invented, and it's available for 1923. You got to avoid certain things. In that sense, the kosher food laws were right. Although I do have a weakness for ham. I always like. I don't eat it anymore because of the cholesterol. It's actually lowering cholesterol in beef. I do better without meat altogether, and I can't eat fish. All the fish I'm eating is lately polluted. No, I'll tell you, there's only one place I can eat fish without a reaction. It's in San Francisco, in the North Beach, the Italian area. There's one restaurant I go to. I'm not going to mention it. He gets his fish on Thursday from a Sicilian fisherman, and he serves it on Friday. He gets the cod, and then he serves calamari from Monterey. And if I can get in there, I do it once in a while. I never, ever have found fish to be as good as that fish. The Sicilian fisherman was once in the stool next to me. That is the bar stool. Don't get me wrong, that could be mistaken, you know. But I'm not in that league. He was on a stool at the counter next to me, and the guy was as broad as he was tall. And we started talking. He showed me pictures of his fishing boat and the one they have back in Italy. He's a great guy, and he said that he catches a 400-pound fish, a halibut, I think, and that this restaurant takes 40 pounds of it every Thursday. And there's such a difference. I once lived in Marblehead, Massachusetts, right on the water. I go down to the fish market in the morning, and I buy fresh fish. Totally different animal. My cholesterol was 130, and I weighed 130. I don't want to tell you what the numbers are today, because you'd be shocked that I'm still living and talking. The fact of the matter, though, is, I mean, I weighed 130, and the cholesterol was 130. No medication required. Just a lot of anxiety and stress kept me in that wonderful fighting shape. Can't they put Lois Lerner in prison already? Please. Can't they just lock her up and throw the key away already? And everybody else involved with that scandal of targeting conservatives? Or maybe deport her to the Ukraine, to Western Ukraine. Send her to the Western Ukraine. Maybe that's where she'll get some justice. Wow. I saw those emails. Awful. Just awful. That's what we're talking about on the show, which is everywhere. You can see how I think. My mind moves. It's free thinking, it's called. Don't expect this to be a news show. It is not a news program. I'll take the news and I'll relate to it. Like, think of me as a guy in a cafe. You're in a cafe. I own the cafe. You're coming in for a coffee or a glass of wine. And I'm behind the bar. And I talk about the topics I want. You talk. But if I want to change it to a car in a minute, I'll change it to a Dodge, about the Dodge Charger and the great days of the Dodge Charger or the Pontiac, 1967 Pontiac. So you know what? Let's forget the Ukraine already. Tell me where I can get a tri-car Pontiac Bonneville for less than $9,000 restored. Can't do it. 855-407-282. KCMO, WABC, WJR, WMAL. They're all holding on the line. Sal on WABC, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
I am from New York, and we have a new mayor not so long ago, Mayor Bill de Blasio.
Yeah, I know. What's his real name?
He's trying to make some changes in New York right away, as many mayors.
Wait, hold it. You say his name is de Blasio, but when he was first elected, they said he had another name.
I do not know what it is.
Oh, and no one knows. All right. I know his first act was to ban the carriage horses outside Central Park. That was his big problem. Carriage horses became his issue.
Yes, and he's also trying to close charter schools.
Well, of course, you can't have those children learn anything. You don't want children to learn anything if the government doesn't control. What would you want a charter school for? The children are likely to learn how to read, write, and spell. This way you put them into a New York City school system, they come out the way kids come out of the system. I went through the New York City school system. I went to a city college when it really meant something. I had to work my behind off to get through those schools. Today it's a joke. It's called open admissions. If you're too smart, they throw you out of the classroom. That's what you have now. You have a South American communist dictator in the New York City mayorship on a light version. He hasn't yet shown his teeth. It's too soon yet. Give him time. Give him time, you'll
join
see.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
And you're live with Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. The story you are about to hear is 100% true, and perhaps one of the most important stories you will hear in a very long time. It's about the persecution of an American hero by the government that sent him to war. His name is Lieutenant Michael Behena, who was sentenced to 25 years in prison for doing what he was sent there to do. Finally, they've released him, and he's going to speak to you, the American people, right here on the Savage Nation. Lieutenant Behena, first of all, I want to thank you for the service to this country. I don't know who else can say it for the way I feel. What they did to you was so crazy. Michael, welcome back to the real world.
Dr. Savage, thanks for having me on.
So can I ask you something? Is your release temporary or is it a permanent release? What have they done?
Well, what they've done is they've released me on parole. In the military system, since my sentence was 15 years, you do a third, you're eligible for parole after a third of your sentence. So a third of 15 years is five. So I completed my 5 years. I became eligible for parole, and then the Army granted me parole.
But can they revoke that patrol for make-up reasons or what?
Well, they could. If I violated parole, I have a parole officer right now, so there are stipulations that I have to follow. If I violated those, then yes,
well,
they could.
Well, let me be clear. I don't want to put you in any jeopardy by talking about your case on this show. So I want to be very clear, Michael, although I've tried to help you in the years that passed, and thank God many people understood what situation you've been put in. If you don't want to answer a question, don't feel pressure to. But I'm going to tell the story about what they did to you from my point of view, and I'm not even asking you to comment. I'll make it generic. You're an Army, you are still an Army Ranger, aren't you? They didn't strip that away from you, did they?
No.
Okay, they can't take that honor away from you. So now you're over in Iraq. You have a platoon under your command. Your platoon is attacked. Two of your soldiers are killed. Two more are injured. And they capture the head of that terrorist cell, didn't they?
Right.
His name was Ali Mansour.
Mansour, yes.
Then Army intelligence orders the release of this Mansour. Is that correct or incorrect?
That's correct.
Why did they order his release, Lieutenant?
I don't know.
Okay, so they order him released.
I don't know.
And then why did they give you the order to return this terrorist to his home? Why you?
I don't know.
Okay, we don't know again. I'm not going to ask you to fill in the blanks. I think many of us are starting to fill them in ourselves. You're returning him to his home. You ask him about other members of the terrorist cell. You ask who's supporting him. Mansour attacks you. You fight for your life and you kill a terrorist in self-defense. Instead of being given the Silver Star of Valor, you're prosecuted by the government for premeditated murder. Isn't that correct so far, Lieutenant Banner?
That's correct.
Okay. And you're given 25 years of a sentence or 15 or whatever?
Well, originally I was sentenced to 25 years. And then I received clemency twice while I was in prison. So that's how I ended up with 15 years.
Oh, my God. What a miscarriage of justice, in my opinion. And all you were trying to do was act to prevent further loss of life for your other platoon members. I don't understand how these things happen, but I'm not surprised by anything that happens in a government bureaucracy. You were kept in Fort Leavenworth. Isn't that true, Lieutenant?
Yes, sir.
I'm not going to ask you to comment on it, but as far as I can tell, the treatment of Al-Qaeda in Gitmo is better than the treatment that many men get at Fort Leavenworth. Please don't comment, because I'm sure that your superiors wouldn't like to hear any such comments. You're back out. Your family probably is so happy they can hardly talk. Meanwhile, you're stripped of virtually all your income, and you have to start all over again. Isn't that true?
That's right.
How do we help you, Lieutenant Pahena? Well, you have a website. Is it still defendmichael.com?
Yes, sir.
Can people make donations?
When I got out, I've been trying to put my life back together. You know, I had to start all over again. You know, I started buying clothes. I had to get a cell phone, health insurance. I still need to get a car or get a truck.
Well, I want to help you get that car. I made the commitment when your mother was on the show a few months ago that I'd help you get that car. And I'm going to ask others who are listening to this show who want to help Lieutenant Pahena, just pay him back for his service. Why don't you go to can they make a donation directly to defendmichael.com?
Yes, sir.
I mean, there's a box to I'm serious. I mean, I want people to make donations, Lieutenant. And we're going to put a link to your website on mine. And then I'll get back to you directly next week when I'm back from vacation, and we'll see how that's going. But I'd like people to send 25, 50, 100 bucks to your defense fund and see if we can get that car fund going. How much do you think you need to buy a car, Lieutenant, after all these years?
Knowing me, you know, I'm cheap. So
stop it.
I just want something that runs.
Okay, well, I'm not going to be surprised if the following happens, Lieutenant Pahena. My feeling is that there are people in the Savage Nation who own a car dealership or who own a company and have a car. I wouldn't be surprised if you don't find one of them donating a car to you directly. But as I say, give me a week or so to get back to you on this, because if they don't help you or there's not enough money contributed, I'll make sure that you get that car. I'll do it myself.
Okay. Dr. Savage, thank you very much. Now, you've already done so much, you and your listeners. I mean, I don't have to tell you, but, I mean, you've raised over $100,000 for my defense.
Yes, but it didn't go to you. It went to your lawyers. That's the thing. And you put 5 years into prison for doing your job for America. I mean, we owe you. We owe you. We all owe you, Lieutenant Pahena. Please don't feel that that you owe us anything. We are so heartbroken that the government would treat a hero this way. that we don't know how to celebrate other than by saying thank you for your service, and we're going to try and help you not only get a car, but what would you like to do with your life, Lieutenant Behenna? Let's say you get that car, you've got some clothing, you get your life back a little bit, you start to get your feet a little solid on the ground. What kind of work would you like to do?
Well, I already have a job lined up, and I start that in the middle of May, and that's cattle ranching and farming.
Isn't that amazing? No, it's not the Bundy Ranch, I hope, in Nevada. We want to...
I don't know.
We won't ask no comments on that, please. You're on parole. We don't want to hear your comments. You gave a little laugh. What are you going to... You're actually going to work on a ranch. Isn't that amazing? You want to get away from all of the craziness, huh?
Get out in the country and live a quiet life.
A real American man. Unbelievable to me. The real McCoy. Is there anything that people can do while listening to the show, Lieutenant Behenna, to help you get back on your feet? We're not giving you a handout. We're giving you what you deserve. What you've done for this country, no one can even calculate what you've been through. By the way, you know, there's a I don't know if you know much about Colonel West, Alan West. Have you heard? You know that story, don't you?
Yes, sir.
You know what happened to him. He was almost railroaded like you were, in my opinion. And maybe Alan West, he's no longer in office. We're going to get him to meet you and help you out and such like that. When do you start your job? Can you tell us which state it's in without being more specific?
Yes, the job that I'm going to have is in Oklahoma. It's in northern Oklahoma. And like I said, I start that in the middle of May.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you need right now, Michael, besides a car? What else do you need?
Me personally, I don't need anything else. But what I want people to realize that are out there listening is there are still others that are in Fort Leavenworth for similar type offenses or alleged crimes that I was convicted of. There are still guys sitting in Leavenworth for charges, murder charges.
You're going back to the Iraq war? Going back to the Iraq war?
Iraq and Afghanistan.
Oh, my God. And you're such a soldier, you don't want to leave any man behind on the battlefield. That's what I'm hearing. I would advise you not to discuss those cases right now on the radio, because I can guarantee you that somebody will use it against you. But we heard you. We hear you. Who did you use as legal defense? Was there an organization, Lieutenant Behenna?
For legal defense?
Yes. Did you have a corporation? Was it an organization, rather, that helped you, or an individual attorney?
There were an individual attorney. I had an individual attorney that helped me out through my trial and then my appeals.
Okay. The reason I ask is maybe we can find later on, I'll have you on when you're feeling up to it, to get something going for the other guys who are still sitting there in that dungeon. And I want to ask you some personal questions. How's your mother doing?
Oh, she's doing great. I don't know if she enjoys it, but I mean, she cooks for me almost every night, and I'm enjoying it.
Well, she's a wonderful
her
person.
And my dad also.
God bless your parents. They're so wonderful, not only for having produced a hero like yourself, and I know you won't call yourself that, but for standing with you every day of the lives of those 5 years. I can't imagine the hell they've been through. But they're wonderful, wonderful people, and you're blessed. I'm not going to ask you the next question, because it may not be the answer I expect to hear, but is that certain person who was with you in the beginning still there for you?
Oh, Shannon? Yeah, Shannon, I talk to her just about every night.
Isn't that amazing?
She's out there in California, and well, that's where she works. And I still keep up with her. You know, like I said, we talk every night.
But I assume that you no longer have that special relationship. Is that correct?
Not like we had, but
because if I keep this up, you're liable to get twelve proposals from Savage Nation women listeners who want to go out with you. Be careful. Some of them may be perfect for you, I don't know, but I'm not a matchmaker, Lieutenant Behenna. Be careful with this audience. You never know what they're liable to do for a real conservative man in a world filled with wimps, you know.
Right.
Anyway, Lieutenant Behenna, this is not a laughing matter. As you know, I try to keep it a little light sometimes. I just want to conclude by saying Michael Behenna is an American hero. He was, in my opinion, unfairly charged, unfairly prosecuted. He was put behind bars for 5 years in Leavenworth Prison. He's out on parole. And if you want to help him get his life back on track, would you please, for God's sakes, go to defendmichael.com and make a donation of $50, $100, $250. Tell him you'll send him a car. Whatever you want to do, buy him a house. What's the difference? Many of you have money to burn. You don't know what to do with it. And all that's going to happen is the government's going to take it from you. Let me be the pitch man, Lieutenant Ben. I'll do a good job. And by the way, next week when I get back from where I'm traveling, I'm going to link up your website with my website, and so people can make direct donations. Are there any words you'd like to leave with the audience right now, Michael?
Yes, there's a going back to those guys that are still in Leavenworth. There's a website that the listeners can go to. It's L10FreedomRide.com.
Is it L? Did you say L10FreedomRide.com?
Yes, sir.
L as in the letter. Wait, L as in the letter L, and then the number 10.
Yes.
Okay, I would advise you, and you should speak to your attorney, to limit the discussion of that incident, I think, at this time, to just what you said. I don't want to give the individuals who have power over you any power over you that they already don't have, if you follow me.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, but they can go check that out, and they can read each individual story about the inmates that are in Leavenworth. You know,
okay.
Okay.
I hear you. Yes. No, I understand. You're a stand-up guy. The first thing you want to tell the audience is about the other guys that are in there, in your opinion, unfairly prosecuted and incarcerated. I get it. I hear you. I know what it must be like to live a day in bondage. I can't imagine it, actually. Lieutenant Michael Bano, all I can say for myself and the millions of listeners who have heard about your case, I want to thank you a million for all you've done for this country, for the service to the country, for the service to America, and of course for joining us today in the Savage Nation. Listeners, go to defendmichael.com. And Michael, let's try to get you back on in a week or so and find out how the donations are coming.
Okay, that sounds good.
God bless you, man. Thanks for being with us. It's 47 minutes after the hour. You just heard from Lieutenant Michael Behenna after 5 years in Leavenworth Prison for a crime he didn't commit, in my opinion. It was a miscarriage of justice from the get-go, from my opinion. It's something that went on under Bush. It didn't happen under Obama. And yet things happen to people that you can't imagine. He's out. He needs your help. Would you please, for God's sakes, how about not going to dinner tonight in a restaurant? How about taking that $50 and sending it to defendmichael.com? You'll feel better eating leftover bread, sending him $25, than you would eating a meal that's only going to make you sick anyway. I'll be right back.
Join us.
Look, many are calling what happened at the Bundy Ranch the beginning of it was the first Boston Tea Party event of our lifetime. And, of course, the questionable, disgusting Southern Poverty Law Center, which is basically a renegade organization of the far left, is unhappy. I'm hearing feedback again, by the way. I'm getting feedback on my microphone again. Pay attention to me. And the Southern Poverty Law Center says, "Do laws no longer apply when the radical right no longer agrees?" said a character for the Southern Poverty Law Center. Do laws no longer apply when the radical right no longer agrees? Well, I would ask the Southern Poverty Law Center the following. Why does your government violate laws with impunity? The fact of the matter is, armed Americans using the threat of a gunfight to force federal officers to back down is being called virtually unparalleled in the modern era, militia experts say. But the BLM, affectionately called the BM, said it is now pursuing legal and administrative options to resolve the dispute. Energized by their success, Bundy supporters are talking about where else they can exercise armed defiance. And they include many groups suspicious of this bloated, overreaching government that obviously is restricting our constitutional rights, not only to bear arms, but as I told you at the beginning of the show, they now want to pass a constraint on talk radio. Senator Malarkey wants to do that. This is a brand new day in American history. Since this showdown, because of Obama's overreach, America is a new place. There's a new dawn. But don't think it's over yet. Don't think it's over yet. It's just the end of the beginning, not the beginning of the end.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
And here he is, in person, hour number three. If you missed the last hour, you missed a great American hero. Lieutenant Michael Behenna is out of prison. Many of you donated to his fund in the past. Please go to freemichael.com and help him get that car. If you want to offer him a car and someone called with a car, an older car, just go to the website and tell him what you have for him. It's not going to go through me. I want nothing from it. I want you to go directly to Lieutenant Behenna. Now let's go to the callers. We have amazing calls. Most of them, believe it or not, are still about the Nevada standoff. The Nevada ranch standoff has excited the blogosphere. It has excited the radio waves. It has excited the radio waves and intimidated some in the government, but I can guarantee you that this is just the beginning of something new, and it's not going to get pretty in the future. I know something about draconian governments, and usually they get worse, not better. And Obama has the tendencies and the inclinations, as you know, of a petty tyrant. He talks real tough to the American people who know what he's all about, and he's obsequious to Putin, for example. He crawls on eggshells in front of Putin, talks like Mr. Professor, Mr. Milquetoast, but for the American people who opposes left-wing fanaticism, we're the real enemy, and he's as mean as can be, using the IRS as a police force against us. You know it. So what's next is the question, and what would you like to talk about is the issue. The phone number is 855-407-282 on this and any other topic. I think I need to wisen you up to what this president is by. In a moment, I'm going to play Al Sharpton, who, if someone had ever told me that in my lifetime a street rat like him would be a presidential advisor, I'd say you're out of your mind. It's impossible for a street con man rat like him to be an advisor to presidents. The world is upside down the way it was under Mao Zedong. I told you that after the communists took over in China, they took peasants from the villages and made them into surgeons, and they took the surgeons and put them into the laundries. And when the little peasants couldn't perform surgery, the communist leader said to them, "Why, you are a communist leader now. You can perform surgery." The girl says, "I don't know anything about medicine." She said, "Oh, no, you're a counter-revolutionary." And they took the girl out of the surgical ward. But the surgeons were put into the laundry. So now we have street garbage like Al Sharpton inside the White House. And the true American heroes, the true geniuses, the true patriots are locked out in the cold. Don't tell me I don't know what's going on. The man is a stone-hearted Maoist. Stone cold. Getting away with everything and get away with using the shock and drive on everybody. And everyone's afraid to say a damn word to him. Because his shock troops, his SAC, anything you say is racism. Well, I got words for you. But I can't repeat them on the radio. I'll save it for another forum. Now that I've said that, I want you to listen to the presidential advisor and frequent White House guest Al Sharpton in clip 14.
The story of Jesus on the cross, no matter what they humiliated him with, no matter how they mocked him, he took it because he knew he could rise. And the story of Easter and my message for this Easter season is no matter what unearned suffering you go through, that if you know you can rise above it, don't become like the diseases that you fight. As I looked at President Obama at our convention last Friday, what all he took, he's able to rise politically again.
I'm not on all of you.
To Jesus, but I am saying that every crucifixion,
you've crucified the language itself. You have crucified the American people. You crucified the American language. You've crucified the word reverend. You crucified the detective Pagonis, who you unfairly tried to screw with that Tawana Brawley. You are the crucifixion. of the American people and of American truth. Only in America could somebody as low as this rise to such high places. Let me tell you something. A man is known by the company he keeps. It would be as though a right-wing president had won and invited David Duke into the White House repeatedly. Tell me what the press would say about that. Tell me what the press would say about somebody coming into the White House from the Ku Klux Klan over and over again. Because as far as I'm concerned, this is the equivalent. And my optic chiasma is not backwards. I can see things as they are. This is the most devious president in the American, in the history of this country. And he's not fooling me for 10 seconds. Not when he associates with someone of this low caliber and invites him into the White House and embraces him at a con man convention. And the press gives him a pass because the press is no better. And you wonder why people are angry? You wonder why they're willing to put on guns and go out to a ranch? You've seen nothing yet. You've seen nothing yet if this keeps up. You've seen nothing. You've seen nothing yet. I'm telling you, there's only a limit to what people will take until they snap. And on that note, we're going to the callers. WABC George, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. I don't know why most people. It's not such a complicated subject. If you're a rancher who is basically homesteaded property, and your property has been in your family for 140 years, how else? What are you supposed to do? The government doesn't have any rights over it. And the second point is if they take away their land rights, that means they're coming after everybody's land rights under some technical law.
Well, that's all of what you said is true, but beneath the land and the prairie grass for the cattle, there is another story which I've been talking about, George, and that is the story of the rare earth minerals that have been ripped off and sold to China. That's the story beneath the story. And that's the one that hasn't come up yet. It has not yet bubbled up to the surface. The rare earth metals are now dominated by China, as I've told you before. Don't underestimate the Chinese. Never underestimate the Chinese people and the Chinese government. They have cornered the market on rare earth metals. Certainly, we still have them, by the way. Oh, yeah, we still have plenty of rare earth metals, but we're not mining them. See, we've been told that it's a dirty thing to mine the rare earth metals and that the hippies in San Francisco and Austin, Texas, have told us you can't mine those metals. No, go to China for them so that if you want to make an airplane that flies or you want to make a submarine that can still navigate, go to your friends in China. Say the hippies who tell us that mining and refining the rare earths make an environmental mess. But China's been very happy to dominate global trade with its willingness to mine rare earths and to deal with the radioactive byproducts. They don't care that they're killing their people. Life means nothing to the communist Chinese. Nothing. Life means less to them than it does to the government in this country, a human life. You know, when I was a little boy, they used to tell me that in America, every life matters. And the reason American troops always won battles is because we respected human life. And they didn't, that they wasted human life like it meant nothing. Well, that was then, and this is now. See, the communists don't see individuals as having any value. They see them as sort of ants in a hive. And so in China, farmers near China's Baotou mine complain of dying crops, losing teeth, lost hair, high cancer rates. And, of course, the water tests show high levels of carcinogens in the area. That's the pollution from mining the rare earths. But here in America, we can still mine, and rising prices have now once again opened the door for rare earth mines in America, including the Mountain Pass, California mine. Yesterday, I spoke with you about the Molycorp Minerals mine. But you didn't understand the China connection. Yes, they've been allowed to reopen its pit at Mountain Pass, California, by an extra 300 feet over the next 30 years, which could boost global supplies of rare earths by 10% a year. But what you don't know is there's a China connection to Molycorp. You don't know that it was sold out, do you? No, you don't know that. So there's much more to the story than meets the eye. It's more about cattle and grass. It's more than about cattle and grass. You understand that? I hope you understand it by now. WJR, Ken, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hello, Michael. I'm calling about Bundy Ranch. I read an article, and I don't know how true it is.
that Harry Reid's son is representing a company that wants to build a wind farm on that land.
Well, I know that Harry Reid's deeply involved in solar farms all over the Nevada desert. On the face of it, there's nothing wrong with that. But he seems to be rather obsessed with the Bundy land, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Yeah, when there's so much desert, what does he care so much about that little area for? That's what you have to ask yourself. If he's so obsessed with wind farms or solar farms, all right, good luck to him. They're entitled to do that. But why are they so obsessed with this little piece of land? So I say, I don't know, but maybe there's something under the land that we don't know about. We're all looking on the top, but maybe there's someone looked underneath, you know. You have to look into these things. 855-407-282. It's the Savage Nation. Let's take another quick caller. We're going to go to Las Vegas now, in the heart of Nevada, obviously, near the area where this occurred. Patty on KBET Line 7. You're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Your accurate representation of the Bundy Ranch leaves out what the media didn't show. I was there. When our sheriff showed up 7 days later, he wanted to talk to Mr. Bundy privately. Bundy told him, no, you have 1 hour to return my cattle. Didn't happen. Mr. Bundy, the horse riders, the walkers went. The BLM got down, crouched position, pointed their guns at us. Disperse, we are prepared to use deadly force. The women, the children, we were all vested, stood in front. Go ahead, shoot.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was really scary. I just closed my eyes.
These black-booted fascists under Obama are ready to shoot you?
They said, disperse. We are ready to use deadly force.
What a bunch of punks. What a bunch of punks in the BLM. Who are these men? Aren't these bums local men? Are these cowards with their flak jackets and high-powered guns, are they local men? Who are these goons?
These are government men from the Bureau of Land Management.
Where do these scum sucking pigs come from?
They have a paycheck and they call themselves Bureau of Land Management. But it's worse. Harry Reid's former staffer is the head of the BLM. They want that land for wind tunnels. They want that land for solar. Rory, yes, you are 100% correct, is representing the company that wants that land. Harry Reid is just not stopping. He wants.
But wait a minute. Why is there so much money in a wind farm? What's that all about?
You know what? If Rory's getting a paycheck, does he really care if it's environmentally good or not? 27 head of cattle died, including calves, because they were denied the care of their mother. Mr. Bundy has not been reimbursed. And if we have to do it, we'll do it again. But
and you're saying you women went out there with vests on and they were ready to shoot you?
Yeah, we all went. When Mr. Bundy said, I am going to get my cattle, every single person there, hundreds, walked down to where the barricades were, the BLM, crouch, ready, aim, fire position, disperse. We are prepared to use deadly force.
Why did they not shoot? What do you think made them not shoot? These coward bums, Nazi fascists, what called them off?
They backed off.
But why did these cowardly scum back off?
Because they weren't going to shoot women and children. We walked in just quiet, just walked in front of the horses.
You mean it would have been okay to shoot men, in other words? It would have been okay to shoot men. That would have been fine to Obama's goons?
They weren't going to shoot women and children. As soon as they saw women and children, all of us wearing vests, prepared to be shot.
Hold on. Patty's calling directly from Nevada. She was there. She's telling a story that you have to listen to. Your government agents, your scum-sucking pigs, who have been buying these 9mm hollow point rounds in the hundreds of millions. Now you know what they're for. Do you get it? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation.
Well, the culture of intimidation marches on. The cowards in flak jackets, the so-called rangers from the bowel movement, frankly, are criminals who should be arrested as far as I'm concerned. Harry Reid is calling those who stood up to these people domestic terrorists. Did you hear what I just said? Harry Reid calls the Bundy supporters domestic terrorists. And others are calling the Obama administration names that I can't even repeat. But I think that there's going to be a federal assault in Nevada very shortly, this time with deadly consequences. I also believe that there's no bottom to the evil in the hearts of this administration. I believe they are surrounded by the most greedy individuals I've ever seen in my lifetime. It's obvious that there's greed in politics. That's nothing new under the sun. It goes back to George Washington. But the issue is a little different today when you have an amoral government detached from the founding documents, detached from the Bible, detached from their role as a governing body of the people to a controlling body of the people. See, it's a little different. The greed in other times was there, as I say. There's nothing new under the sun, as it was written in the Bible. But the issue is quite different when you have a detached government as you have now. As far as I am concerned, the BAL movement, the BLM, is engaged in a criminal activity, a criminal action against ranchers. That's what I think. Now, whether civil disobedience will stop them the next time is open for questioning. I think that in addition to killing the Bundy cattle and the bulls, shooting them in their pen, shooting two prize bulls for fun, smashing up the feds, slaughtering of the cattle, shooting the bulls, destroying his water lines, knocking over his fences, that you didn't see from the vermin in the media, did you? Instead, they're talking about the missing airplane in Malaysia. That's Wolf Blitzer, one of the operatives of the government media complex. One of the little boys that work on the end of a string for the government media complex. But I don't know that civil disobedience per se will stop Harry Reid. I don't think it will stop the government. And I fear, by the way, that something terrible is going to happen. You back a coward against the wall. You back a bully into a corner, and that bully has some loaded machine guns. That bully's going to let go a fusillade of bullets. I want to remind you, this government's been storing 9mm hollow point rounds for years, and they denied it. Every agency of this government has hollow point ammunition. Why? What kind of bullets did the vermin and the BLM have in their guns? Look into it. See if you can get the answer.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-4...
Well, Harry Reid has escalated the war of words. He's today given a speech today at an event in Las Vegas at the Paris Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. He referred to the Bundy supporters as nothing more than domestic terrorists. Harry Reid said, I repeat, what happened there was domestic terrorism. In other words, he's put in the sights of the U.S. government individuals, Americans, standing up for the rights of a cattle rancher, calling them terrorists, meaning the next step, since we can use drones against terrorists, will probably be to use drones to kill innocent men, women, and children. Why is he so tied to this? And why is the media so obsessed with hiding Harry Reid's link to the Bundy land situation? Are you aware of the fact, by the way, that his former staffer, Neil Korns, K-O-R-N-Z-E, was recently confirmed as the new BLM director this month? Does that not strike you as odd? That Harry Reid's former staffer, Neil Korns, is confirmed as the new BLM director early in the month, and then there's a standoff later in the month. So what is it that Harry Reid wants, and why does he want it so badly? The Nevada desert is quite vast. There are millions of acres. Why does he want this piece of land? I keep asking the same question. Why? What has Harry Reid gotten? I mean, what's in it for him? Does anyone have an answer? Let's go to Dan on the Internet to talk about wind farms. Dan on the Internet from Pennsylvania. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Michael. I have been involved with and work with the electric power industry for 24 years. And
great. So you know a lot more about it. You know more about it than I do. So is there money in wind farms, Dan?
I definitely believe there is. I'm definitely under the understanding that they get federal money to develop these projects to begin with. I
see. And whether they produce a kilowatt, it doesn't matter. As long as they get the hundreds of millions or whatever, billions of dollars to develop it, that's all they want. Is that it?
Well, I was watching the grid in 2006 when a small wind farm went into service. So I got curious about it because I didn't know anything about them. I went on the Internet and started doing some research and found that for a certain number of years, and I don't remember the number that the contract was for, but for the first, let's say, 5 or 10 years of their production, for every kilowatt they produced, and I think at the time the going rate was about 12 cents a kilowatt, they got back a 4 cent federal tax credit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so it's always money, that we understand.
Right.
But do you think that there's something beyond wind farms in this Bundy standoff? Is there something under the earth that we should know about? I mean, are the rare earths an issue, as I think they may be?
I don't know about, but it wouldn't surprise me. And
all right, but the main point is that as a person who's worked in the area of energy, wind farms are lucrative because they get federal money to build them, and that's a very important point. Very important point. Let's go to Connecticut. WWCO, Jerry, you're up on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage, what would you recommend to the average American sheeple? What do we need to do to blunt this government growth, especially under Obama? What would you say?
Well, first of all, speak out everywhere you go and don't be intimidated by his minions with the word racism. Learn what he's doing. Learn what he's doing. Talk about the vermin he associates with, like Al Sharpton. Ask why Michelle keeps going on his expensive trips and tells you to eat carrots and broccoli. Go down the list of the abuses that he's inflicted on the American people, and then stand up, stand your ground. Because everything begins with a word. And you can do it at home, you can do it on a supermarket line, you can do it at a school board meeting. Don't let these liberals intimidate you with their roll of their eyes. A knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. Every dictator in history has fallen. There is no such thing as an invincible dictator, especially a paper tiger like Obama. The man is a petty tyrant, and he's going to get a lot worse before he gets better. And the only thing that can stop this bloated bureaucracy is the American people standing up to it at every turn. And now you say, well, what can I really do? Well, first, learn. Two, talk about it. Read about it, talk about it, spread the words, send it through emails. Don't be intimidated by the morons out there who don't know what's going on around them. And then I'm going to say something that you may not agree with, but I'll say it again. The worst Republican is better than the best Democrat today. I have to say it. I'm an independent. I have been for 30 or 40 years. But at this stage, when I see, I started my show 3 hours ago talking about the fact that some slimy senators wanted to inhibit talk radio. They wanted to pass a bill against hate speech, so-called. And they would define what hate speech is. And Senator Malarkey is behind it. Senator Ed Malarkey, Democrat, Massachusetts, and Representative Hakeem Jeffries, Dem New York, are trying to make certain that radio hosts are constrained from speaking their minds by creating a bill called the Hate Crimes Reporting Act. What a bunch of garbage. Who's going to determine what a hate crime is? As far as I'm concerned, they're committing a hate crime against the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. So you understand that one man's hate crime is another man's speech freedoms. This is the trouble we're in. And then the Republicans are the only ones opposing this. As I said to you earlier in the show, while there's only a few degrees of separation on too many issues between the Republicans and the Democrats, on some very fundamental issues such as freedom of speech, without the Republicans, we'd be living in a pure banana republic. It would be like Chavez took over this country. And I have to remind you again that the worst Republican is better than the best Democrat at this stage of our history. The Democrat Party has become a socialist party, period. The Republican Party may be a big socialist party, but there's a wing of the party that stands up for the freedom of the people, for the liberty of the people, and they're the only hope we have right now. That's all I can say to you. I don't know what else to say to you at this time. I don't know what else to say to you. When I see a recent poll by Fox News says that the leading contenders for 2016 are Bush, if you can believe this, Christie, and Ron Paul, I say it's over. It's over. Stalin's housekeeper could win against them. Stalin's housekeeper could beat any of those three. I can't believe this. Once again, they're going to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. They're going to run Bush again after 16 years of the Bush dynasty. We want another 8 years of a man who says that it's an act of love to break into America. That's what they're going to run? Or Christie? Never mind the bridge scandal. That's nothing compared to Obama's scandals. Christie, as you well know, is a waffler. Christie is a wobbler and a waffler. Christie is for illegal amnesty for illegal aliens. He's not going to win because the Republican base, the core conservative base, will not come out for an amnesty man the way they didn't come out for Romney. It's that simple. And then what? Ron Paul? I mean, whichever Rand Paul. I mean, I don't know. Whatever. Whatever. You know what I'm saying? Is policies are good, and I'd vote for him if that was the choice, but for God's sakes, do better than that. Give me a dark horse I never heard of. Come up with an Obama that no one ever heard of on the conservative side and bring him up. Come up with an Obama. No one ever heard of this guy, a senator from Illinois, who wasn't even there half the time. He was out. God knows what he was doing. And he's president. Come up with a dark horse candidate. Someone we never heard of. Bring him up from the Republican side. Yeah, good luck. Whoa, yeah, really good luck to ever get anywhere in this country. There are qualified individuals who could do it, who could save this country. They could clean house, boy, can they clean house. But could they win in this country where the party system was created to make certain the American people had no representation? I think it was George Washington that was opposed to the party system. So look where we are today. You got two parties who are having a real party on the American taxpayers' back. 855-407-2822 is the Savage Nation phone number. If you dial into that number and you get on the air, you will reach more people than you'll probably ever speak to for the rest of your life. So let's go to some of the callers who've been hanging out there. And some of them are really good. WFTL in Fort Lauderdale. Mike, thanks for calling. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael.
Yes, sir.
I want your opinion on Michelle Obama running for president. I think if the people were dumb enough to vote Obama in the second time around, she's been appearing on magazines, she's been on TV, I think she's going to run.
God forbid. God save us from this. But anything's possible in this nation which has a broken electoral system. There are enough people on the dole. There are enough people who don't work to possibly put her in power if she just promises them free lunch meat.
Amen.
See, if she promises lunch meat in every, give them a free cell phone, give them free food stamps, and if she offers them some free lunch meat to go with it, she's liable to win.
And that would put Barack in for another 4 or 8 years.
Well, I don't even think he'd want to be there. He's already been a front man for he'll have been a front man for 8 years when he's through. You think he wants another 8 years as a front man?
Yeah,
who do you think's been running the country? You think it's him or do you think it's Michelle?
That's a good question.
Who do you think's been running the country? It's Michelle Obama and her friends, the four horsewomen of the apocalypse. They've been running the country, not him. He's the spokesmouth. He goes out and gives the speech, that's all. What was she doing in China? That's what I want to know. What'd she go there for with no press permitted? Press. What a press. What a press. What a press. WJR, Mike, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hey, I got an answer to that question that you just asked. That's the reason for my call. Michelle took her two daughters, her mom, and herself to interview schools, the Pink Pagoda schools, established by a guy by the name of Dr. Jim Garo, so that they can decide where those girls are going to go to school for a year, or immersion into the political elite class of China.
Are you sure? Wait, hold on. What's your source for this, Mike?
Dr. Jim Garo, the founder of the Pink Pagoda Schools, 43 years, CIA. He is now he's part of the solution, and he's working with Major General Paul Vallely and Lieutenant Colonel General Tom McInerney. I'm just reading from a little...
Well, what are you saying? That I want to see if I can follow you. You are claiming that Michelle Obama went there to interview schools to send her daughters to so they could learn Chinese?
No, so that they can be further entrenched into the political elite class of the world, because those schools are educating the elite Chinese girl political class of China, including Mao's daughter, and this has been going on. Jim Garrow said his school's up over there. He actually was nominated for a Nobel Prize.
Where can we confirm that she was interviewing schools? Where did you read this?
I didn't read it. I was told it directly by Dr. Jim Garrow, and I can put him directly in touch with you. I have his phone number.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. Guys, hold on. I want Mike to give you that number, and I want to try to get this gentleman on the show tomorrow. So, Eric, try to arrange that. And now let's go to a next caller. I want to see if that's true. Anything is possible under this scam artist in the White House. That's all. Anything is possible. Anything is possible. Anything is possible. I'm not shocked by anything anyone says anymore. Anything. No, sir, rebob. I wanted to get something. I can't find it in my huge voluminous library that I carry with me. No, sir, rebob. Holder, the next topic is a caller from KCMO in Kansas City. John, welcome to the Savage Nation from KCMO. What's on your mind, John?
Oh, yeah, I just was curious as to why Eric Holder took the time to come to Kansas City to highlight the extremely rare, from my experience, white supremacist attack. Hasn't visited any or went to any of the memorial services for any of the people who were...
I don't know. Why didn't he talk about the Fort Hood massacre under Major Nadal Hassan? Where was Eric Holder then?
Yeah, or the knockout game. There's people that have died from that.
Oh, you mean the black gangs going around knocking out old people in the streets of America?
Yeah, the Black Panthers. What happened to that? How come that...
I don't know. I don't know why he's not talking about the Muslim cells in America. I wonder why he's so concerned with the Nazi that was released all of a sudden right after the BLM standoff. A day later, all of a sudden, the Nazi is released, who screams Heil Hitler and shoots what he thinks are Jewish people. He kills two Christians and a Jew, and within hours, the Southern Poverty Law Center releases the Nazi's dossier. They had it all ready to go. How is that possible? I asked that question yesterday. They seem to have had the script all ready to go within hours of the attack. How did they know who the Nazi was? How did they know what his background was? How do we know he wasn't controlled by an infiltrator of the government who egged him on to commit these acts of terror against these Jewish organizations? How do we know that? How do we know that, and why should we not assume that? It was a little too convenient after the government backed down. All of a sudden, America's focused on the maniac Heil Hitler guy. I'll be right back. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Look, as the show comes to an end, I want to say something to you. We are called many names in talk radio, and that's fine. People can say what they want. As a public figure, I'm used to insults. It doesn't matter to me. And you have to understand something. I published 28 books. I have many books that have not been published that are gems. Some of them are gems. I am actually, although I've written two published novels, Abuse of Power and A Time for War, they are based on reality. I consider myself a real journalist. I've always been a journalist. None of my books could have been written the way they were written, because everything I've written was taken from reality. Everything I have written was taken from reality. I see the truth in my eyes because I am trained in the sciences. I can analyze data. I can analyze reality. And I try to present to you as clear as a chemist presents to you in a test tube what he's discovered. So don't mistake yourselves. These people, society professional journalists, are nothing but propagandists. Propagandists, and they never would have gone to journalism school. I never went to journalism school. I didn't need to go to journalism school. I went to realism school. My name is Michael Savage on your local station. With God's will and your listenership every day right here. On the Savage Nation, give me 15 minutes, and I'll give you the real America. Be here, or be absolutely nowhere.
Savage.